Well, no PowerPoints today, but hopefully when you came in, you did pick up an outline. You can make some notes on the outline sheet, if that helps. And you can listen to the sermon subsequently on the podcast when it's put up. Psalm 37 is a delightful psalm, and we chose it for the month of January because perhaps it's a psalm for the year. It's a poem, and it's shaped by the Hebrew alphabet, and so the consonants of the alphabet from beginning to end form what we might call an alphabet acrostic poem, where on average about every second verse goes through the consonants of the Hebrew alphabet. And so we have here a sort of a A to Z poem in our terms, or a B to Z if you want consonants. This is a poem shaped by a clever appeal to the consonants of the Hebrew alphabet. And of course, in translation, that's lost. So a couple of things to say about that, which I think are helpful. The structure of Scripture is always contributive to the meaning of Scripture. So, three things to say about the structure. First of all, this is a wisdom psalm, and it's meant to be clever. It's meant to be playful. It's meant to remind us that God is an artist who orders things, who delights in patterns, and this is a patterned psalm. So, a little bit of an invitation into God's wisdom through this clever psalm. That's one thing. But secondly, perhaps more importantly, this is a psalm to memorize. Once you've got an ordered pattern around a quite long psalm, it's not so hard then to, having appreciated the pattern, choose to memorize it. And it sort of functions like a collection of proverbs with short sayings, each starting with the next consonant of the alphabet. Jesus is very shaped by this psalm as a Jewish reader and as a teacher. And so when Jesus speaks out his Beatitudes, one of them particularly is a reflection on this psalm. Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth." The psalmist here is speaking from a context of land and Israel, Old Testament. Verse 11, the meek shall inherit the land and enjoy great peace. And Jesus takes that and expands on it, as it were. I had a friend once whose life verse was 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is memorizable, and it might be a good challenge for you and I this year to take some of these texts and to bring them to memory and for prayer. Immediately after our passage today, verse 34, wait for the Lord and keep his way, is a lovely psalm about patience and faithful waiting. Well, thirdly, I want to say this is a psalm for life. And so when you get an alphabet acrostic which goes from the beginning to the end of the alphabet, it's like the Lord is sort of saying, here's a psalm for the whole of life, beginning to end, all the seasons of life. Here's a psalm for everyone, young or old, married or single, sick or well, all of the seasons, birth to death. Here's a psalm that's sort of got a holistic wrapping of the alphabet around it. So this is a psalm for life. The structure would say it's a really, really important psalm for the beginning of life, for the end of life, and for everything in between. So Psalm 37, pretty special, and I recommend it to you for the year. Five times in this psalm, a key word is used, and it's the word inherit. This is a psalm about inheritance. Now, we looked at inheritance-type themes and theology in Romans 8 late last year, but here are some beautiful statements to the readers about inheritance. 37:9, evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Verse 11, the meek will inherit the land. Verse 22, those the Lord blesses will inherit the land. This is a land context psalm. And verse 29, verse 34, it's a psalm about inheritance. And that's important in lots of areas of life. The people of Israel were only too aware that they were a small nation in a small parcel of land surrounded by giants. And they were utterly distinctive in their choice to worship one supreme Lord when around them were idols and gods multiplied. Assyrians, Babylonians, Egyptians, Ammonites, Moabites, Philistines, both within the land and around the land, had bigger armies, more weapons, and hostile intent to take that land. And the question is, in the psalm, who will inherit? Who's going to get the land in the long term? And five times the Lord says, you will inherit the land who trust me. You will inherit the land who are meek. You will inherit the land who have the law of the Lord in your heart. Who will inherit the land? Now, it strikes me that this is an important question for us today as well. Is your future secure? We've seen the fires, we've seen the flooding, we've seen the drought conditions. We're living in a groaning creation. Is the future secure or is it calamity? I think the new most used word in the media at the moment is the word catastrophic. Everything's catastrophic. Well, not in Scripture. There is catastrophe and there is promise and security and peace. So don't get too carried away by the multiple headlines which tell us that everything's catastrophic, from the political scene to international relations to flooding and fires and drought and terrorism. Is the future secure? What about this year in terms of sickness and health, impending death, wealth and poverty, loneliness? Is the future secure? Who do you trust? Who do I trust? Who do I wait for with faithful confidence when I think about the future? And the psalm would say, your inheritance is secure. Throughout the psalm, 37, 27 to 33, the portion we're thinking about today, there is affirmation and promise after affirmation and promise. 27, 28 starts with the words, commands, turn, do, dwell. Three commands, turn from evil, do good, dwell in the land. There's a lovely wisdom sequence, for the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. Verse 29, the wicked will perish. Sometimes we see them flourishing, we see people who don't care about God in the least, who lie and deceive and who are violent, flourishing. Wealthy and powerful people. The psalm starts with the words, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. Like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die. And verse 28 says, the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The psalm takes the long view, as Kirk mentioned last week. Look at verses 30 and 31. The law of God is in your heart. Your feet will not slip. You are secure. And 32, 33. The Lord is with you. You will not be condemned. The future is secure. I want to take the concerns of the psalm and go to Luke 4 for a few moments and look at Jesus and give us today three questions so you can jot them down on the outline sheet for the year and for the rest of life that I think this psalm is concerned with and which Satan challenges Jesus on in Luke 4. Jesus is in the wilderness like Israel had been in the wilderness in Luke 4. He's tempted, he's vulnerable, and he has in his face, as it were, a powerful accuser, an unrighteous power, a wicked opponent. The devil challenges Jesus in three ways in Luke 4. The first, to the hungry Jesus. The devil says, if you are the Son of God, if God loves you, tell this stone to become bread and get yourself fed. And Jesus answers, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. The question Satan challenges Jesus with is, do you really trust God to provide for you? Do you really trust God to provide for you? Who will provide for you? Whose way will you take with regard to provision? In the Lord's Prayer, we ask God Give us this day our daily bread. And that's a daily prayer, right? We pray and trust God for provision. And so we're free of anxiety at that level because we trust that if we take God's way, he will provide. That's the first area. The second area, 4:5-8 of Luke, the devil takes Jesus and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. I will give you their authority and splendor, he says. It's been given to me. I'll give it to you. Worship me. Here is the inheritance. Here is the reward. Here is the wealth and splendor of the world. And Jesus' answer is clear. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Who will reward us? Who will reward you for your sacrificial work? Who will reward you for your faithful choices? Who will reward you for not taking the way of wealth accumulation by deception or violent acquisition or selfish hoarding? Who will reward you for faithful choices in the long run? Jesus trusts God. The psalmists trust God for the answer to the question, will God really reward you? In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then Satan takes Jesus to the highest point of the temple, says, throw yourself down. If you are God's son, he will rescue you. He will protect you if you test him. And Jesus says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He doesn't have to prove anything. He will protect me. The question is, who will protect you? Who will provide? Who will reward? Who will protect? Three of the big questions of life. It's very easy to say, of course God protects me when I'm well, when I'm rich, but what about when I'm confronted by an enemy? What about when I'm impoverished or frightened or in danger or dying? Who will protect you when you're anxious and vulnerable? In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, Lord, deliver us from evil. It's a prayer for protection. Three of the big questions of life then, which are in the psalm and in Jesus, are who will provide, who will reward, who will protect. Who will provide? The psalmist says, delight in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit yourself to the Lord. Trust in him. He will act. Who will reward? The psalmist says, evildoers will be cut off. Those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. Who will protect? The psalmist says, the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord helps them. The Lord delivers them. The Lord will protect his people. Choices around provision, reward, and protection are sometimes not that stark in this country. We can get by in a sort of a secular, accumulate, keep your head down sort of mode. But in many countries, these questions are right on the surface of faith. This week, Christianity Today has featured the story about Nigerian pastor Lawan Andimi captured by Boko Haram and being held now as a hostage under threat of beheading. And just a few days ago, they released the hostage video where he was to plead for mercy and so forth. And this is what he said. Partly, he said this, by the grace of God, I will be together with my wife, my children and my colleagues, but if that opportunity is not granted, perhaps it's the will of God. Be patient, don't cry, don't worry, thank God for everything. And they released that video. And he is faced with that ultimate choice right now, and we will keep reading and praying for Lawan Andimi, the pastor of a church in Nigeria, under captivity at the moment. Be patient. Don't cry. Don't worry. Thank God for everything. Who will protect when you're under penalty or threat of death at the hands of terrorists? He's trusting the Lord. Many of our daily choices are governed by our answers to the questions, who will provide? who will reward, who will protect. Why give generously? Why be hospitable? Why distribute wealth if you don't believe the Lord will provide for you in the long term? Why live differently, godly, holy, pure, ethical, biblically shaped lives, if you don't believe the Lord will reward you and you're not going to play the games of a distinctive, corrupt, secular society? Why live sacrificially and be different to workmates or kids in the class, not craving recognition or reward, if you don't believe that God will give you the inheritance in the long run? Why make choices to stand out and tell people about Jesus when it might bring criticism or hostility if you don't believe God will protect and reward? Every day we need to make choices about who we will trust to provide, who we will trust to protect, who we will trust to reward. And choosing the faithful, promise-keeping Lord of Psalm 37 of the wilderness temptations sets us free, I think, from a large amount of anxiety and fear as we face the future. So Psalm 37 is a great psalm of confidence, encouraging us in the virtue of faithful choosing and patient waiting for the Lord who provides, the Lord who protects, and the Lord who rewards. Let's pray. Thanks, Lord, for the psalm, and thanks for the example of Jesus in the wilderness, refusing to bow down or worship any other god, trusting that you would protect, that you will reward, that you will provide in your way, obedient and faithful people. We thank you, Lord, for the promises, blessed are the meek, not the proud, not the violent, not the selfish. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. So may we be found amongst the meek and faithful disciples of Jesus today. Lord, bless the year ahead. We'll face, no doubt, unexpected challenges and difficulties, perhaps tragedies, untimely deaths, those we know and love. Our own lives will be battered at times by problems and troubles and challenges, and we pray that as a community we will be faithful to you, and in our individual lives our choices would confidently flow from our willingness to trust you for provision, reward and protection. In Jesus' name, Amen.